Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. God bless you. Good evening. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, and you are listening to DTW Ministries right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank God for you that are tuning in. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Tune in to the broadcast this evening. Let's pray. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Thank you that for this word that you've prepared in my mouth. God, I pray, God, that you would bring it to fruition, to the hearers, God, that it would be bread to the eater, God, that it would be seed to the sower, God, that it would be meat, and that we may partake of all that you have given and deposited in us. For we're growing up together in you. We pray that you would have your way, that you would hide flesh behind the cross, that you would get glory to yourself, and we bless you for what you have and what you prepare to do. God, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would stop the mouth of the gainsayer. We come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Loose the mind of the children of God in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Again, good evening. Thank you for tuning into DTW Ministries. As I had said in our previous broadcast on the 11th, that we were going to be continuing in our love chapter. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read through the love chapter, and then we're going to touch on this topic that the Lord gave me a few days ago, healed in my brokenness, and this emphasis on the word in, but we'll get to that. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we read through from 1, and we'll just read today from 1 to 8. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, says in the King James, love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Listen, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not to the front. It's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. I want you to remember that one. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Listen, love never fails. When we continue to read this, and I get excited about thinking about it, because I see how the Lord is moving in my mind and in my spirit to give the definition of what we call love. You know, one of the problems and one of the, I would say, pitfalls or traps for the Christian is that most of us learned love through affection. Most of us learned love through a loved one, a grandparent, a parent, someone that gave us affection, that favored us, that was kind toward us. And we, in kind, learned love. But when I read the Bible's definition of love, love does not necessarily have to reciprocate. And this is a pitfall when we come in a trap when we come into Christendom, because we usually love those that love us. We usually are nice and are good to those that are nice and are good to us. We usually, in turn, turn the favor, turn our love on to those that are affectionate towards us. And we talked about this last time we were on the broadcast, because God calls us, the child of God, to love the unlovable. It says, if we love those that love us, what thank or what profit or what good is it if we only love those that love us, or we only do good to them that do good to us, but rather love your enemies, do good to them and pray for them that despitefully use you and abuse you, so that we may what? Be made known, or we may be known as the children of God. Listen, when we talk about these first three verses, bestowing your goods, speaking with in tongues with men and angels, gift for prophecy, having all understanding, all mysteries, having all knowledge, having all faith that we can remove. These are good things. Yes, we remember the story of the impotent church. We remember that the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. So we knew that Christ rebuked the disciples, as it goes on in the story in the Gospels, because of their unbelief. But when we're talking about the walk of love, it says in chapter 12, yet covet earnestly the best gifts. What gifts? What gift is better than the other? It depends on the need. But you will only see the need through love. You will only see the need through the eyes of love. We've been seeing the need through each other. We've been seeing the need through how we esteem the minister. We've been seeing the need on how we esteem the prophet. So we have people that are aspiring to be or to operate in these gifts because of the position, because of the prestige, because of how people look and treat this person. We spoke a couple, I believe, last month when we talked about, am I your manager or am I your minister? When the children of God, maybe this is just my burden, but as I like said, and I continue to say on the DTW broadcast, you guys that are tuning in regularly and some that are visiting, I thank God for you that might be listening for the first time, that you're witnessing my growth and development as the Lord takes me from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from rank to rank, because we know every round goes higher and higher. But as he calls us to love, there is a dilemma. And I really don't want to get to this point this fast. I want to try to slow it down, but I'm already there in my mouth. I'm already there in my heart, because we want the things of God. I know you agree with that. Those that are listening, those that are going to church, those that are praying on a regular basis, those that are reading their word, that are fasting, they're doing all that they know how to do, and we find an attack on our love. We find an attack. Listen, not that you don't pray with people. We don't find an attack that we don't minister. We don't find an attack always that we don't sing, that we don't do those things according to ministry that are in the church. But there is a lack, I would say, there is a lack of genuine love. Of genuine love. This is why I believe the Lord gave me this message, healed in my brokenness. And for that topic, I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, and it talks about Mephibosheth. And it was a cry that King David, after Saul and Jonathan, you know, had gotten killed, and there David had came into the throne, and he had been the king of Israel. He was really concerned because he had made a covenant in 1 Samuel with Jonathan that he swore that, hey, if any of my family survive, be good to them. And David promised that, hey, if any of your family survive this, if you guys survive this, I will take care of you. As long as I'm on the throne, you don't have to worry. So it goes on in the second chapter, and it reads this in chapter 9, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, it says, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show? Listen, I put this in parentheses, wrote it down parenthetically. I like that word, parenthetically. Unto him, the, it says, may show the kindness of God. See, I believe the Holy Spirit pointed that out to me because the love that we need to operate in is beyond us. If we could do it, if it was easy, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't need God on the inside to do what he's calling us to do if we could do it on our own. But because we can't do it on our own, even in the Old Testament, it says that I may show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. Now, and this is the point that got me. And it said, which is lame. And in the King James, it says, on his feet. Everything about him was okay. Everything about him was well, was whole. But he was lame on his feet. And I'm going to pray again right there. God, I pray that as you've given this thing to me, this word, God, that I don't mess it up. The clarity, God, that it would come across under your anointing, God, that you would be able to speak through these lips of clay. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. As we look at the revolving door of people that come in and out of churches, we often say, I would be in church more often if it wasn't for church people. If it wasn't for so-called Christians. And often those that have been hurt by those that call themselves. And let me not even try to use words and adjectives to describe. Listen, people are people. We as humans have faults. We have idiosyncrasies. We have desires. We have parts of our character that, hey, if you say the wrong thing, if you act the wrong way, I might in turn react the same way to you. When I think about Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, who was lame on his feet, although he tried as much as he could to get around, to get well, because of, I would say, ancient technology, even in the next book, his condition did not change. When he finally came to David's house, David covered him and put his legs under the table so no one would see he was lame. There is a revelation there for covering. People stay away from church because sometimes our attitude, we act like the prodigal son, yeah, but not the one that left, the one that stayed. How dare you, Father, celebrate this man? How dare you celebrate this woman? How dare you celebrate this son that left and wasted everything you gave him? And now he's coming back and you're throwing a party and I'm here all the time and you haven't killed the fatted calf for me. People come and we see them in their state of brokenness. Because when they come around us saints, the pain of healing reminds them of their pain from the conflict, from the controversy, from the contention, from the offense. So instead of taking the pain, you know, it's saying that the natural it is in the spiritual. Anyone who's gone through any type of physical therapy, after the doctor has set the bone, after you have set in the cast for three, six, how many weeks that they ask and prescribe for you, there is a period of therapy. This is why we can't forsake the fellowship of each other. Because even as iron sharpens iron, there is a necessity of therapy from fellowship that only comes during the time of offense. We want to justify because the person didn't change. The person's tongue is still sharp. The person still doesn't recognize that love talks to them. And the person who doesn't recognize that love talks to them is because they look through the eyes of self-righteousness. They don't see their error, but the problem which makes it reciprocate is because we come in healed in our brokenness. So it's like the withered hand stays in the position of withered. It's fully developed, but it's still withdrawn. We still have a limp. So when we come in, people see the point of our weakness. People see the point of our affliction. People see the point of our conflict. They don't recognize that God has healed us. So they react to what they see because they haven't looked through the eyes of 1 Corinthians 13. Because 1 Corinthians 13, I told you to remember that point, and I'm going to take you right there, right now. It says in verse 5, it doesn't behave itself unseemly, uh-huh. It doesn't seek her own, uh-huh. It's not easily provoked, uh-huh. And what? I tell you, remember, it thinks no evil. I want to send this out to you as a prescription, child of God. If your thought towards your brother, if your thought toward your sister is that something is wrong with them, newsflash, it's your love that needs to be perfected. It's your love that needs to come in question. It's your walk. Yeah, we might be right. Yeah, they might have done thus and so. But God calls us not to be each other's judge, but to be the one that loves my brother, the one that prays for my sister, the one that carries the burden. Remember, it says in Corinthians earlier, who is going to take wrong? Who is going to be fraud? Who's going to be the one to say, look, I'll take the brunt, even if I'm not the one that's wrong, for the sake of fellowship? Don't be like me. In my early walk, I would argue up and down if I was right and thought I was right. And a lot of times I lost fellowship because I stood in my right. I stood in my right in my argument. I stood in my right in scripture. But I lost the fellowship. I lost the brother. I lost the sister, but I was right. And a lot of us are willing to be right. Why? Because even as it says in verse 5, again, seeks not her own. We are seeking our own. We're seeking our own understanding. We're seeking the way we see it. We're not trying to look at it through their eyes. And remember, we went through what? Psalms 15:10 says, only through pride comes contention. Oh, no other way. It doesn't come any other way. Contention only comes through pride. Contention, when there's bitterness, when there's bickering, when there is conflict, when there is bad communication, when there is offense, it's because pride is there. And we have to recognize someone has to stop the cycle. Because if I only see you in your brokenness, even when you've been healed, and you only remember the pain, even therapy reminds you of pain. Even therapy is offense. Because with therapy, listen, anybody who's had anything broken, anyone who's been sick for a while and had to come through rehabilitation. There's pain there. And we're not recognizing the pain of growth. We're not recognizing the pain of rehabilitation. We're not recognizing the pain of renewal. We're considering it offense. But if our eyes are on Jesus, my God, if our mind is on God, if our mind is on me, if I'm thinking about my walk, I don't have time to worry about how you offended me. I'm worried about how my heart will react to you. I'm worried about how will I love you through the offense. I'm worried about how I'll look at you though you continue to say things, to do things, to act in a way that I believe is unseemly. So I can't worry about your response. I can't worry about your actions. I can't worry about your words. I can't worry about your walk because I have to spend all my time to make sure my walk is right. Here comes the first challenge. The first challenge is for the next 6 months. I want you to concentrate on your heart, on your walk, on your responses, on your discipline, on your love, on your character. Spend the next 6 months on your character, on your love, on your Christian walk, on your response to those that sometimes seem like they just walk in offense. And here's challenge number two. The next 6 months after that, spend not worrying about someone else's response. Not worrying about how they do it, how they offend, how they're not walking in love. Because how we see things are not always how they are. We see things according to us. We see things according to our understanding. We see things according to our level of understanding. We see things according to where we are in God, in the scriptures, according to how we were raised, according to the things that we've understood in our lives and experienced. That's why we have four gospels telling the same story, and they all seem to have seen it in a different way. They all seem to describe God as different, as the lion, as the Messiah, as the physician, as the servant, as God. It's the same in our walk. But the Bible says, although we talk through and talk in tongues of men and of angels, have gifts of prophecy, none of these things will you find in the Bible that says, by this, men will know you are my disciples. It doesn't say they'll know you're my disciples because you prophesy. They doesn't say they'll know that you're my disciples because of your faith, because you can move mountains. It didn't say that they'll know that you belong to me because you give your body to be burned and give all your goods away to the poor. There's only one thing in the Bible that he said, by this will men know you belong to me. And that is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loves not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. God, show us just love. Even when I say it, I get nervous. It's just like praying for patience. We know Romans tells us that tribulation works patience. So a lot of us don't pray because we know when we pray for more patience, more tribulation is coming. When we know we're praying for love, guess what? More testing is coming. When we're praying for more finances, guess what? More seeds have to be sown. More land has to be tilled. More things have to be done because God is not going to just rain down blessings without our applying what he's saying. The spiritual blessings of God are applied here in the natural, in this realm, but they are supplied spiritually. How do I know? Because everything that's in the seed, the oak tree is already in the seed. The orange, the apple, whatever we grow, whatever we put in the ground, it's already in that seed. It's already there. So the love that God is asking us, God is demanding for us, God is requiring of us, is already in us in the Holy Ghost. But except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. Die, my God. If it die, I'm healed in the place where it's comfortable for me not to stretch my hand out. My hand is not withered anymore, but the position of crippling you still see because I have not gone through the therapy. I have not gone through the pruning. I have not gone through the painful process of renewal. I have not gone through the painful process of rehabilitation. What happens when you go to a therapist? They want to test your threshold of pain. After you take the cast off, after you take the boot off, after you take the brace off, after they take the screws out, they say, now stretch, now reach, now squeeze, now stand, now turn, and tell me from a scale of 1 to 10, where is your pain? And you continue to do that until you get full mobility. My God, hallelujah. God wants you in the house of God, around the saints of God, around those things that offend you until you get full mobility. If the song says, New York, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. We are coming around people that love us but have issues just like we do, just like you and I do, both having our own issues. But we want to hold each other accountable for the lack of each other's love. I would love Aaron better if he would walk better. I would love Sister So-and-so more if she wasn't so suchy much. I would love Brother So-and-so the way that God is requiring, but he's still doing the things he ain't. God ain't called us for none of that. God called us to love, my God. And it's time for those that have healed in a place of brokenness. You know what happens when a bone sets and heals, but you go to the doctor and it was set off? It healed incorrectly. It healed in a direction or in a position that wasn't symmetric or perpendicular or correct. He has to re-break it. My God. Hallelujah. And I'm here to challenge you that are broken, that are hurting, that have lost your position in the family of God. You know you belong to God, but you haven't been going to the house of God and you're blaming it on the people. I'm challenging you tonight to allow the Holy Spirit to break you again. That's some good stuff for myself. To allow the Spirit of God to break you again. Go to that place of brokenness. Go to that place of pain. Go to that place of where they're looking at you funny. And don't worry about it. And pray that God fix you. That God do the therapy that's necessary, that the Holy Spirit do the renewing, and keep your eyes off of people. I tell you, our pastor continues to say it and been saying it over and over. If you get your eyes off of people, if you get your eyes off of circumstance, if you get your eyes on what people are saying, how they're looking at, how they're treating you, and put your eyes on Jesus. Listen, no one here has died for you. Christ that died is Christ that justified. It's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to what he's doing, making intercession for you and for me. He's called us to a greater place. He's called us to a greater anointing. He's called us to a greater walk, and that walk is in the humbling character of love. Holy Spirit, this is why I'm finding you. I need God, because this walk is supernatural. This love is beyond me. This type of love is not what I want to do. This love is not comfortable. This love is not, you become vulnerable. But we learn vulnerability in the world. So when that vulnerability comes up, we feel open and naked. We feel weak and insecure. We feel unprotected, and we don't like it. And our defense comes up, which is usually how we look at people, how we talk to people, how we respond to people. It's our natural response. It's human nature for self-preservation. But Christ is calling us to deny ourselves. Because he that comes after me, you want to come after God? You want to run after Christ? Let him first. Let her first. Let us first deny ourselves. God, teach us how to deny ourselves. I'm saying this stuff, and some of this stuff I'm hearing for the first time, and I'm telling you, it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous that God would deposit it in me and know that he's requiring the same. He's calling us to a higher calling. He's calling us to a holy calling. He's calling us to a call of sanctification, a call of consecration, a call of love. And what I love about it is that the Holy Spirit will do the work if we let him. God, teach us how to love right. Not that mushy stuff that moves and changes when people do us right and people do us wrong. But God, the love that's consistent like you, my God, I pray, God, for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, even those that will listen to the archives, even those that this message will get regurgitated from those that are listening tonight. God, I pray that such an anointing would be on this word, God, that your love would gerate us. God, draw us to yourself by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, continue to birth in us greater. Yes, God, continue to birth in us your desire in the name of Jesus. As we look continually, David said, that I may show the kindness of God. This is why I'm so glad those words were in the Bible. I'm so glad it's written there, because it lets me know I have to get it from him. It lets me know you can't do this on your own. You're not alone in this walk. You're not alone in this battle. Listen, we talked that. We're not alone in the battle. We're not alone in the fight. But listen, you're not alone in this love. God did not leave us alone. Learn how to depend. I'm learning even the more how to depend on the Holy Spirit. I want to read some more of 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Rejoice not in iniquity. We don't get happy when we see our brother still limping. He's been away for 3 years, and he came back, and he's still limping. You know what we say, huh? Well, you remember what he did. Yeah, well, he got what he deserved. That's the kind of attitude we often have when we see our brother, when we see our sister still in a place of incomplete healing, not knowing that the bone has healed, but the lack of fellowship, the lack of therapy. I'm speaking hypothetically. The lack of enduring the pain to get to wholeness, enduring the pain to get to completion, enduring the pain to get to 100%. Some of us may never reach it, but I want to encourage you tonight. Don't stop coming. Don't stop enduring. Don't stop pressing. Don't stop watching. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop wanting more of God. Ah, yes. Because even in your brokenness, you can be healed. Yeah, we want to see people walk straight. We want to see people's walk with God. We want to see people walking in excellence. I learned something a few years ago from Triumphant Faith that excellence is a habit. Excellence is something you can practice. And as you practice, it might not come all the time. But as you practice, you get better. As you practice, you get stronger. As you practice, it gets better developed. So if you practice lying, it gets better. It gets stronger. You get better at it. If you practice stealing, you get better. You get stronger. You get more equipped. You get slicker at it. But on the flip side, if you practice excellence, if you practice discipline, if you practice praying, if you practice preaching, if you practice reading, studying the word, if you practice denying yourself, if you practice rehab, pushing past your pain until you see the man that you see when you read the Bible, until you see the man that you see when you're studying the word, until you see the woman that you see when you're on your knees, that God shows you that he's raising you up to be. If you practice it, you'll get better. You can't continue to hit and miss. You can't continue to go in sporadically. You can't continue to just do it once in a while. You can't continue to just do it on First Sunday, on Communion Sunday, once a month, or just on Sunday alone. You have 6 other days in the week that you have to practice, to discipline, to do. And listen, aren't you glad that we have help? Because listen, here's the encouraging point. That it's God that works in us, both to will. You want to do it? Listen, God wants you to do it. And to do. You want to do it? God wants you to do it and has given us grace to do it. He's given us the empowerment, has given us the embodiment. Listen, we have the embodiment, my God, of God himself. We that believe that Jesus is the Christ, that have confessed our sins and have come and given our lives to God and received Christ as Savior, we have, the Bible says, the August. We have the token. We have the end of our salvation. We have already received. My goodness. And we've been sealed to the day of redemption. So we have the promise of God. the presence of God, the provision of God. And we have God himself interceding. My God, that what a combination. What a combination to do. What a combination to encourage. What a combination to help us to stand. Help us to help us to understand that we have the victory because he's the victor. We have, yes, God, we're more than conquerors. We are overcomers because he has already overcome. He has already conquered. And we belong to him. I thank God for that word. My goodness. I'm learning more and more. You know, in the passing of my father, you know, this past week, you know, and making the arrangements, you know, it was difficult, but I learned so much. I was glad that God allowed me to go through every step and every stage. And I'm moving in my bereavement. I'm moving in my grief, but I can feel my stretch. I can feel myself stretching, and I'm encouraging the stretch. I'm encouraging that God continue to enlarge me. Because he doesn't want us to continue to just go through the same thing and it hits us the same way. He wants us to be encouraged. So I hope this word encouraged you tonight. I hope that what was said has not just fallen in your ear, but that it has fallen on your understanding, that it has fallen on your heart, that the seed has been planted on good ground in your spirit, that it would bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Listen, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I want to read 1 Corinthians, a little bit of 12, where it leads up to covering earnestly the best gifts. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to just read down. I'm going to read from verse 12. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one," and this is a whole new message, but this is all how it ties into love for me, "and have many members, and all members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body." When we read this, you have to see yourself. When you look at yourself, look at your eyes, then look at your eyelids, look at your eyelashes, but it's all part, and they serve a purpose for the eye. The hair of your lashes serve a purpose for the eye. The retina, the iris, the pupil, those parts of your eye, the optic nerve. When we look at those, we look at the ear, we look at the teeth, we talked about teeth not too long ago when I went to the dentist. We talked about the parts of the teeth and how the blood was supplied to the root and all these things, the neck and how the neck turns and how it's connected by vertebrae to your back, to your shoulder blades. How, we know the old song, them bones, them dry bones, the backbone connected to the neck. As we look at ourselves, we can say without any fail, we can say without any doubt, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's in the natural. But when we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12, it tells you and I that you and I are connected like that. You and I, how can I fit with you should be my question. Yeah, I understand that there's conflict. I understand that there's some kind of miscommunication. I understand that there seems to be a disconnect, but the question should be, where do we connect? If I'm a hand, I should stop looking for other hands. I need to look for a foot. I need to look for an elbow. I need to look for an ear. I need to look for someone that's so different from me. And then find out how we fit. When we look in the natural, the way that the hand and the ear fit, you know, when the ear itching, the hand scratches. But it was one time when the saw was running, and I didn't see it, but I heard it. And I was about to lean on the ears, wouldn't have heard. My hand would have suffered. So my body is in harmony to help itself. Listen, my brother, listen, my sister. We have to find out where we all fit. The Bible tells me that we are all joined fitly together by Christ. I don't care about the division. I don't care about the separation. I don't care about what makes us different than each other. We need to fit together. And listen, we that continue to stand alone in our brokenness, you cannot find that out if you're apart from the body. You can't find your place in the body if you're not in the midst of those that God is calling you to fellowship with. It's not going to be all peaches and cream. Yeah, I know. When I came to church and I thought about love, I thought everybody in the church was honest, was loving, was nice, kind, and affectionate people. I was so sadly mistaken. But God said, I didn't call you to look at them. I called you to do what you see. What you see lacking, you be that. What you see there's a gap in, you fill the gap. What you see is not any understanding, you bring understanding. Because God is calling us individually to love. 319-526-6174. I'm going to bring whoever the engineer is on the line, and they're going to give you some announcements and some information on how to communicate and correspond with Purpose Kingdom. God bless you.
Okay, real quickly, I'm just going to go ahead and announce it. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us on tonight's episode. Whether you call online or via phone, we thank you so much for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And if you're online and you want to call in, we have two phone numbers you can call in, 319-527-6091, and we also have 323-870-4174. And anytime you want to just talk to our host, you can just press the number 1. And if you want to correspond with us via email, you can correspond with us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. Also, if you you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And we also like to invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. Also, on any of our social media pages, you can follow in our links for anchor.com or Anchor FM, where you can hear Morning Word of Inspiration. So anytime you want to hear morning Word of Inspiration, just go to our Facebook page, or you can just go to anchor.com or Anchor FM and go to Purpose Kingdom, where you can get a Morning Word of Inspiration. And we thank you so much for joining us for Morning Word of Inspiration. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, at the 9 p.m. hour, we're going to have Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And we thank each and every one of you for joining us and supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements. And Reverend William, great show. And I'm anticipating on hearing the rest of tonight's show.
Amen, amen. I'm encouraged, Brother Rob. I really am. I have just how the Lord continues to move, you know, in our midst. Being a member of the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, you know, as long as I have, I've seen a lot of things, you know. But what the Lord continues to tell me, because you know, once I guess when I came back to church, let me start there. When I came back to church, you know, he wouldn't let me be a judge. I was moved with so much gratitude that I was still alive. maybe you don't have any, you know, issues where you knew that your life could have ended. But I did. I'm sitting here, you know, and I went through my dad's things. He has a high school yearbook from Edison from 1961, and he has some pictures of me from graduating in the fourth grade and graduating in the, looks like the, I think this is a ninth grade picture, I believe, you know, and my goodness, if I don't look as homely, I look so homely. That is so crazy. I'm woofing. My hair is packed tight, and I got that same grin on my face. My goodness. There was a grin. I was afraid to smile because I didn't know how. You know, and then it was a guy I saw on his picture, on his middle school picture. It wasn't middle school then, it was junior high school, but on his middle school picture, he smiled and he showed his teeth, and I thought I looked better than this guy. So I'm like, but his smile made him look so much better. Oh my goodness, I was so jealous and envious, and I practiced smiling. Actually, hurt. I didn't like to smile, and I would just give like a grin, and I practiced a smile. I said, listen, on my 12th grade picture, I'm going to smile. And on my 12th grade high school picture, I smiled and showed my teeth. But I really wasn't a smiler. I would laugh, yo, and bust with the best of them. But I really wasn't a person who would smile and grin. I had to practice how to learn how to smile. And when Christ came into my life, I smiled so much, I wanted to stop because my face hurt. It wasn't used to that position. It wasn't used to being turned up. You know, it wasn't used to the grin opening as wide as it did when I smiled. It was comfortable to just smile. I used to laugh and just open my mouth with no sound coming out. But smiling was something I had to practice before I met Jesus. Listen, maybe your comfort that you're in is something that you're used to. You've learned how to function in your brokenness. You've learned to function so well that it's like nothing's missing. Someone pushes that button until that pain reoccurs, until that stirring in your spirit, that stirring in your mind, that stirring in your emotion comes up. Listen, if that's you, I want to lead you in prayer before we get off the air. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, I want you to repeat with me, and maybe this is you. You are saved, but you recognize there are some areas that you've been operating that you know are broken, that you've just been ignoring, that you've learned to function in, and you don't even try, you haven't even tried to do better. I want to pray. I want to go through the sinner's prayer with you, and then I want to pray for you. So weeping, we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And cleanse me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Save me. Come into my life. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, become Lord and Master of my life. I thank you for saving my soul. Amen. God and our Father, we do thank you for everyone that repeated that prayer. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that they would find a church home where they may grow and hear the word, be fed, God, with the milk of the word. God, that those that have left your house would come back home. God, that we may go through the therapy, the healing of therapy. Give us strength for the pain. Give us strength for the journey. Give us grace, God, to endure hardness as good soldiers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray your blessings on every hearer. In the name of Jesus, God, get glory to yourself in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, those that might have came on the line late, those that have wanted to listen to the rest of the messages that link up to this one on our archives, right on blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdomDTW Ministries. And you can go and listen to as many of the archives as you want to listen to. You know, we often binge watch on Netflix and do all things on cable TV and on our computer. Why don't you challenge yourself this week, this month, this year to binge watch some of the episodes of Purpose Kingdom? Yeah, I challenge you to binge watch, to binge listen just to some of the DTW ministry broadcast right on that address that I gave you. And if you missed it, here it is again, blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdomNetwork/TW Ministries. We thank God for you. We thank God for you that, again, keep us in prayer. We want to ask and request for prayer because no one, I know I'm not, is beyond the need of prayer. Our next broadcast for DTW Ministries will be on March the 10th. That is the second Tuesday in March. We want to welcome you and invite you to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church right in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's at 2001 West Lehigh Avenue, where the Reverend Glenn Spaulding is the pastor. You know, we thank God for those that can come out that are in the area. If you ever find yourself in the Philadelphia area, or you're just simply looking for a church home, we invite you to come to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church. We have prayer weekly. We have prayer tomorrow on Wednesday, you know, at 7 a.m., then again at 1 o'clock p.m., and then again at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We also have a Bible study on Wednesday evening from 6 to 7. But we have a caller. We have a few minutes, so caller, you're on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you. Caller, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, baby.
Yes.
I'm always excited to come on this air to be able to share with you and to be able to listen to your teachings every other Tuesday that you come on here. Sometimes I'll be on, I don't say anything, but I just wanted to say that I just want to be on here just to encourage you, to keep on encouraging you, to keep on doing and letting God use you and doing what you're doing, because you, I believe, I know that you are doing a good job, and I have heard growth since I've been coming on this line and listening to you. And even then, when we get together, which is not often, but we get together enough time that I even see it in you. And so I just appreciate you. I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate you as my son and as a minister. I respect you more than you know, and I love you more than you know, and I want you to know that no matter what.
Amen.
I'm your number one fan, you know.
I know that. That's for sure.
I'm your number one fan. You know,
hey,
and
Rob, how my mom threw shade in there real quick. Though we get together not often, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. but you know what? It don't even have to be every day, because it's a blessing just to be in your company, just to get be able to just talk to you. You know what I mean? And just to listen to you. Sometimes I don't say nothing, but I can't say I don't say nothing because I'm always saying something. Great Anna. I'm serious. But I just want to tell you that I love you, son. And, you know, I'm here for you no matter what. And whatever you're going through and whatever, you know, I'm just here for you for whatever. Yeah. That's why I call you every day. You tell me, I know I'm grown, Ma. I said, I know you're grown, but you still my son. And I just called to check on you. That's what I do. I can't help myself.
Amen.
You talk about love because I do love you. And it ain't because of what you do for me and all. It's because of who you are and what you represent. And that's why I love you so much.
Oh, I hear everybody in the background saying, oh, ain't that sweet?
Listen, oh, it is.
We want to go. Yeah.
Okay,
you know, thank you, Mom, for the call. Thank you all for tuning in. Let's close in prayer. God, we do again thank you for this day that you've made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, thank you for Brother Rob, God, for Pastor Toy, God, thank you for my mom for calling and encouraging me. God, I just pray, God, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight, God, that now unto him who is able, hallelujah, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think according to the power that works in us by Christ Jesus. Have a great evening. God bless you.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.